I want to talk this morning. You know, it's interesting, as I was preparing the sermon, I realized, wow, I never done a sermon based on the topic that I want to discuss with you this morning. This idea of truth. What is truth? You know, it was Denzel Washington who challenged reporters. He challenged them to tell the truth. You know, he said, if you don't watch the news, you are uninformed. If you do watch it, you are misinformed. And then he said, I mean, it makes so much sense what Denzel is talking about, because it is so true. You see that in our society. I mean, even on social media, you have something called fake news. I mean, and everybody says something. And Denzel was challenging the reporters, said, you know, all of you guys, all that you want to do is be first. And you don't care about whether it's true or not. All you want to do is get it out there. Because the moment you get it out there, it sells. But you don't care if it's true or not. What is this thing that we talk about? Truth. See, we all seek to know the truth. We want to know it. We want the truth and nothing but the truth. You see, we live in a world that is filled with misinformation. We live in a world that is filled with deception. And it's really hard sometimes to find the truth or whatever it is that's out there. But we know that the truth, regardless of the deception and lies in this world, the truth is out there somewhere. We just gotta find it. You see, we pursue it because we want to know it. And you know, you want to know the truth when you just had a doctor's exam. You got blood work. You know, you want the doctor to be honest with you, don't you? So you want the truth. What's wrong with me, doctor? You don't want the doctor. So, well, I think maybe. No. What's wrong with me? Give me the truth, nothing but the truth. Am I going to die? What do I need to do to improve my health? I mean, you want the truth. You know, we live in a society, in postmodern society, they say that truth is relative. What's true to you might not be true to me. In a society we live in, like relativism, they believe that there's no absolute truth. That truth is subjective, which means it depends on your situation. It depends on the feeling that you might be experiencing at that moment. They reject this idea of objective truth or absolute truth. What is truth? See, after you've been falsely accused by others, you want the truth to come out, don't you? And, you know, when you go, somebody in a trial, you know, before the judge, is that they want to seek the truth of that case, because either you're going to go to jail or you're going to be free. But the truth is really what's going to set you free right there. What is this thing that we call truth? You see, this question has puzzled people for thousands of years. Like I said, some believe it is to be, it's subjective based on circumstances and the individual's feeling. And in a society, a postmodern society, there's no truth. There's no absolute truth, just relative truth. Based on whatever truth, your truth is your truth. And so that's how people view it these days. This idea of what is truth, there was a Roman governor who asked this question to Jesus. What is truth? Remember Jesus, the Jewish people, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees and Pharisees, they brought him before a Roman governor named Pontius Pilate. You know, and they had a lot of charges against Jesus, accusing him that he was going to destroy the temple, accusing Jesus of being a rebellious leader, and that he would rise up and create this revolt in that society. So a lot of charges were brought before Jesus. So this Roman governor wanted to examine Jesus to find out if those charges were actually true. So he spent some time with Jesus, talking with Jesus, and it's interesting because the Gospel of John tells us about the dialogue between Pontius Pilate and Jesus. One time, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" Because he heard people talking about Jesus as a king, and you know, and Jesus didn't reply. And I wanna take you to that portion of that conversation between Pilate and Jesus in John chapter 18, because that's the question that I decided to entitle the sermon. What is truth? Because Pilate asked 2,000 years ago He wanted to know it. And we also here in our context, we want to know the truth. What is truth? John 18, verse 37 through 38. This is Pilate says, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And then he said, "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." What is truth? "So you are a king then," Pilate said to Jesus. Jesus said, "For this reason I came into the world. I was born to be a king, and I came to bear witness to the truth." Anybody on the side of truth, Jesus says, hears my voice, listens to me. And then the governor said, "What is truth?" That's the question that many of you might have today. What is truth? How do you know? How do we find truth? Now, it's interesting because in the text, Pilate doesn't realize he did find the truth. You notice what he did later on? He examined Jesus because a lot of charges, a lot of accusations were brought before him, you know, regarding Jesus. And so he got to talk to Jesus, got to spend some time with Jesus, and then he concluded that he was, do you notice that? He was innocent. According to Pilate, Jesus was innocent. You notice what he said? "I find no basis." He went back to the Jewish leader. "I find no basis for a charge against this man." He found the truth about Jesus' case. What was the truth about Jesus' case? That he was falsely accused. And even the Roman governor could have released Jesus if he wanted to. But then, like everything else, becomes political. Because later on, some of the Jewish people told Pilate, "If you release this man, you are no friend with Caesar." And then, you know, later on it might have become political, like some of the things, you know, political correctness. "So let me just wash my hands. You guys do with Jesus what you want." And that's why Pontius Pilate washed his hands. But in his examination of Jesus, he concluded that the truth about Jesus' case was that he was an innocent man being falsely accused. You notice? He just asked, "What is truth?" "Pilate, you found it. Know the truth that these people are accusing Jesus? And he never did anything wrong to be in that predicament." So he found the truth of that case. I mean, based on Roman law, Jesus could never die. He should have never died. The governor said it. "I find no basis for a trial against this man." But then later on, you keep on reading, say, "But you know, since it is our custom to release a prisoner, here's Jesus, here's Barabbas, which one do you want?" So in other words, like, "It's up to you guys. I wash my hands." But he had the authority to release Jesus if he wanted to. So he asked, "What is truth?" And he found the truth of the matter right there. Truth. Jesus said it. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Now, when you go into the Bible, it's interesting how many times the word truth appears in the Bible, a lot, or a truth. You know, when somebody's a true friend, like, it doesn't matter what you've gone through, that friend's still going to stick with you. It's almost like, wow, like, you are truly a friend. You are a true friend. So, the idea of truth in the Bible has the idea of reality, certainty, straightforwardness. You know, the Bible defines truth as that which is constant and unchanging. You know a true friend is because he doesn't change with the circumstances. Like, you're true even when bad things happen to me. Even when we disagree, you're true to me. So you are unchanging. You are constant. That's the idea of truth. And when you go to the doctor for an exam, you want him to give you what is the truth. You want, don't change the thing. Tell me really what he says. What is it? What's wrong with me? Give me the truth and nothing but the truth. But like in the movie, somebody would say, "You can't handle the truth." But we want that. We seek it. We want to know it. Reality instead of illusion. That's what truth is. It's certainty. It's straightforwardness. And like I say in the Bible, truth is something that is constant. It's not changing. It's unchanging. So it's interesting because the Bible talks about, and Angela read that passage in John 1:14, says, that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. When you keep on reading in the Gospel of John, and for some reason John is the book that speaks the most about the truth. You know, Matthew speaks a lot about the kingdom of God. But if you want to, if you do a study, you were to highlight every time John talks about something true or truth, there'd be a lot. I haven't done that homework yet, but I want to challenge you because John is almost like obsessed with truth. How do I know that? The very first chapter, he talks about that the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So you want to know truth? It already came into the world. You can know it. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's how John, the gospel writer, introduced Jesus. The law was given to Moses, and everybody knew that, but grace and truth, something that's constant, something that is unchanging, came through Jesus Christ. It's interesting because in the same Gospel of John, Jesus later on is challenging his followers, those who believed in him. And then he said that they will be set free. You will know the truth, he said, and the truth will set you free. And ye continue in my word, then you, that's the King James Version, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus talking about there in that text, in that context, to his followers. If you continue in my teaching, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Talking about truth, so it can be known. It can set people free. Free from what? Deceptions and so much lies that we see in our society. Now it's interesting too that one of the bold statements that Jesus ever made about himself had to do with the truth. Remember in John chapter 14, he's telling his disciples that he was going to go and prepare a place, and then after he will go, he will come back and take them so that where I am, you can also be. And then he said, you know the way. And then Thomas says, no, we don't. And then he says, I am the way and the what? And the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Bold statement from Jesus. He's claiming to be the way. You know, I was thinking about that text. I can do a whole sermon based on Jesus the way. I can do another sermon based on Jesus the truth. And another sermon based on Jesus the life. That's just in that verse. I am the way and the truth and the life. What does that mean? Jesus claimed to be the truth. John says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And now he himself says, I am the truth. I am that which is constant. I am that which is unchanging. Jesus is the personification of absolute truth. This is why he told Pilate, anyone on the side of truth hears my voice, listens to me. Another thing that you and I need to know, according to the Bible, truth is a quality fundamental to the very nature of God. And what do I mean by that? Truth is an attribute of who God is. You know, why do I say that? Because the Bible talks about that God is the God of all truth. God can do a lot of things, but there are certain things God cannot do. I don't know if you knew this. God cannot lie. So the moment that God would lie to you, that he'd be like wishy-washy, like he's changing his mind here, just like we do all the time, then he shouldn't be God. You shouldn't trust him. God is unchanging, like we sing about, indescribable, constant, you know, unfathomable. Chris Tomlin said, you place the stars in the sky and you know each by name. Well, man, you're an amazing God. And so, truth is part of who God is. Just like we talk about God is holy, that he's merciful, that he's just. Justice is like the absolute justice. That's God. You know, absolute truth, God. And then we have the incarnation of truth in whom? In Jesus Christ. God in the flesh. Truth made flesh. Truth alive, incarnated. So Jesus is the personification of what truth is. Because truth is a quality of God. It's in his nature. He cannot lie. He will not deceive you. He will always tell you the truth. Now, and you see, the Bible is so, it relates to everything else. The Bible does not contradict, because later on, when you Jesus described the Holy Spirit, he said, when John again, when he's telling his disciples that he was going to leave them and then go back to the Father, and then, well, he's going to send you an advocate, the Holy Spirit. And how is the Holy Spirit described? You go back to John 14. He's described as the Spirit of Truth. 14:17. The Spirit of Truth. And then Jesus said, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. John 16:13. This Holy Spirit will guide his people, God's people, into all truth. Truth. And then later on, John 17, remember John, he's the one. John 17:17, Jesus praying for his disciples. That's known as the high priest prayer. That's right before he's betrayed and he goes into the garden. He's praying, and then he said these words: sanctify them by the truth. What is truth? Your word is truth. He's talking to the Father, to God the Father. Sanctify them, make him separate them, make him distinct from the world. How? By your truth. Sanctify, so you and I can be sanctified by the truth. And the truth in that context is what? God's word. Because God cannot lie. You want to know what truth is? God. You want to know more specific what truth is? Truth in the flesh, that's Jesus. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. It's interesting. Paul talks about the message of the gospel to humanity is truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ, because what is the gospel? His teaching, whatever Jesus has said is recorded by his people. That is truth. Paul talks about that the message of God to humanity is being plain. It's being right there for them to know it, but they have distorted. See, Romans 1:25. Paul talks about they have exchanged the truth for a lie. And they're worshiping the creation and the created things rather than the Creator. When people worship creation, you have exchanged the truth for the lies. You are being deceived. Deception is right there. Why are you worshiping nature and creation when there's somebody greater than nature, the one who created it? So Paul says that's what people have done with the truth of God. The truth is right there. It's plain for them to know, but they have gone and exchanged it. Like they have exchanged God's standard, God's natural standard for unnatural. And Paul has a beautiful argument about why the wrath of God is coming to mankind, because God has given them the truth, but they want the lie, the deception. Paul talks about in the book of Galatians that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth, which some people try to distort. You know, just God gives you the truth, but there will be some people that might twist it. You know, and even in today's society, you know, Satan is not really just lying to people. What he does, he takes the truth and he just twists it a little bit and deceives you with it. That's what he did in the garden. Paul talks about the truth being the gospel. The message of the cross is the truth to humanity. And what the Lord expects of people is to accept it, to believe that truth. And when they believe it, they are saved. Truth sets people free. Truth saves people. The truth of the gospel. In 1 Timothy 2:4, Paul talks about that God wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Like I said, man, I'm just showing you some of the verses that talks about truth. God wants everyone to be saved and for everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is he talking about? To come to the knowledge of himself, to come to the knowledge of his word, and then be saved. And in 1 Timothy 3:15, it's interesting, because do you know that the church is actually called the pillar and foundation of truth? Interesting. So you see, the church is expected to be the truth in the world. That's why God would be so angry with churches when, you know, even when believers and sisters are fighting among themselves, instead of standing for the truth, you go and stand for lies and you create divisions in the church. That's anti-Jesus. That's anti-God. Because the church is called to be, it's supposed to be the pillar, the foundation of truth, because we represent the one that's truth, and now he has given us to be agents Not agents of the shield, but agents of the truth. Why do you think the Bible always says, speak the truth to one another in love? Speak, because by doing that, you're representing Jesus. He's all about the truth. Speak the truth to one another. Be truthful to one another. Now, we know that Satan is the arch enemy of truth. He doesn't stand for the truth. Deception is in his nature. Just like God cannot lie, Satan cannot tell the truth. And if he told you something that sounds like the truth, he's twisting it. Remember in the garden, the first deception that he created? He came to Adam and Eve and said, did God say that you're not supposed to eat of the tree? Now, that's a question that you say, well, yes and no. Eve said, well, no, he said that we're not supposed to eat or touch it. Because when we do that, then we're going to die. Satan said, no, it's not quite like that. Let me explain it better to you. God did not really say that you, no. God knows that the day you eat it, you're going to be like him, knowing good and evil. And now there are two propositions, and you're like, okay, God told me not to even think about a tree, but he's saying that God is lying to me, that God's not telling me the complete. And now you're like this, and that's how temptation works, by the way. God told you something, and then somebody else proposes a different idea, and you're in the middle. Okay, but if you truly trust God, that he's unchanging, that he always going to tell you the truth, why would you even consider the other option? Trust the Creator. So Satan will always come to Jesus. You know, it says that when Jesus was, before he started his ministry, that Satan took him to be tested. And mind you, the testing wasn't, I mean, Jesus could have done what Satan told him. Jesus is hungry, and Satan said, if you're the Son of God, tell those stones to become bread. Satisfy your hunger. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You know what's wrong? That you're giving yourself to the devil's advice. And it only takes one time to just listen to him in the prison. You know, but you said, no, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then Satan was, you know, and he quoted the Bible to Jesus. Satan would quote the Bible. He knows the Bible better than many of us. He said, cast yourself down, because it's written that God will send his angel to carry you so that your feet do not trample over stone. That's in one of the Psalms. And Jesus said, Satan, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. But you see, he always proposed, like I said, he will get some truth. He got a verse in the Bible. And think about that, my friends. Why do you think we have so many denominations? And sometimes, you know, because somebody will get a verse in the Bible and twist it, get it out of context. And that's, you know, that's all it takes. And now we want the truth in that verse. It's like, but you don't have the truth because you have just taken out of context. You're twisting it. And that's exactly what Satan does in our society. That's why we have so much deception and lies. He doesn't stand for the truth. Jesus said that when he lies, that is as though he's speaking his native language. He's the God of deception in this world. And you know what saddens me in our society today as we approach closer to the return of Jesus? The Bible says that in latter time, a lot of people will be deceived. But how do you get deceived by Satan? Because if you don't know the truth of Jesus, somebody can come and sell you oranges for apples and you buy them. So the Bible says in latter time, people, the love and the faith of many will grow cold because they might believe Satan's deception, the lies. And how is it that you and I can protect ourselves from being deceived? How? Standing on his truth. Know his truth, because Jesus said, we will know it and it will set us free. Free from lies, free from all deception. Because he stands for the truth and the truth will remain. Amen. Jesus said it. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And you know, my friends, that's one thing that you also understand. Even when, like in churches, when there's conflicts and things like that, or division, the moment that we try to create division in the church, we're not standing for the truth. The moment that we're divided ourselves, and you know, we're not standing on the side of truth. We're standing, we're doing the job of Satan easier. We're catering to him. You know, Jesus said, when you listen to him, you hear him, you seek him, that's when you have found the truth. To follow Jesus is to follow the truth. To know Jesus, really, literally, is to know the truth. Because he claimed to be the truth. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father, or no one comes to heaven except through me. My friends, I don't know if you knew this, but you have been set free by truth. You have been redeemed, bought by truth, because truth is Jesus. It's interesting. In the last book of the Bible, Jesus has, you know, Jesus has many names through the Bible, the Lamb of God, you know, the Word of God, the Savior, the Messiah, Christ. In Revelation, he's introduced as the faithful and true. There's a, in chapter 19, there's a rider in the white horse. And you know, the portrayal of the portrait of Jesus coming to earth to wage war against those who rejected him. You know, Jesus, when he comes back, he's not going to be born of a virgin like a baby so that we can take care of him. No, he's going to come as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Check out the description of that rider. Some of the names. He said, out of his mouth comes a double-edged sword with which he will strike down the nations. And his name is Faithful and True. Because that's who he is. And he has a name written that no one knows. It said, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Man, I get goosebumps when I think about that rider. Because I don't know about you. Are you ready to see the face of the rider? Because now, if you are with him, you don't have to panic. But anybody else who has rejected his truth will have to see him. What is he doing? What is he coming to do? He says, with justice, he will strike down the nations. You know, we want justice in our nation. And yes, I understand United States justice system is better than many other countries. Believe me, I live in different countries and I know it. So we do have, even though it's not perfect, we do have a better justice system than many other countries in the world. But imagine when Jesus Christ comes, it will be perfect. Justice will be served. Justice will come because truth will arrive. The faithful and truth will come. And I hope to hear the words when he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Man, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will come. You want to know what truth is? Jesus. The moment you found Jesus, you have found the truth that you ever need to live in this world. Jesus said it. You will know the truth and it will set you free. My friends, you and I are free by Jesus, the truth. Would you pray with me this morning?